an interesting thing happened yesterday, one of those coincidental things. I was actually down at Apache Lake last couple of days kayaking with a friend. And yesterday I saw this piece of trash floating over on the side of the lake. It looked like one of those big plastic soda cups. You know, it had some picture of something on it. And so I paddle over there and I picked it up, and it wasn't a soda cup. It was made of cardboard. And it had this picture of sunflowers that had been glued on but was peeling off. And I thought this was bizarre. It had sort of a top, but the top had a hole in it. And then I turned it over, and there's a label on the bottom, and it said, "The remains of Robert W. Pfister, February 2019. So, you know, I looked inside and thought, I don't know if these are ashes or sand, but someone had clearly been spreading someone's ashes, and I guess they dropped the thing off the boat. So I put it down, and while I was trying to decide what to do, whether I should pick it up, because it felt really weird to pick it up and put it in the trash, but at the same time, I didn't want to just leave it in. Anyway, it sank and took that decision out of my hands. But it was really interesting to notice that, and also because my mother died in January, and for the past couple of months now, her ashes have been in a box in my living room. And I had the same feeling with this as I have with that box of my mother, that this is not actually Robert W. Pfister. This is, you know, it might as well be sand. I couldn't even tell. And, you know, that's not my mother on the bookshelf. It's a nice memory of her. But I'm still trying to sort of come to terms with these ashes that were once her. But clearly the ashes aren't her. And so that would imply that when she had a body, that body wasn't her either. And poor Mr. Pfister, or maybe happy Mr. Pfister, you know, he's not floating in the lake now. So there's something about death that we find sort of hard to get a grasp on. And there are a number of, in many religions, a number of different meditations on death. And in Buddhism, there are a number of different contemplations. But this is the chapter that we're on this week. And it's called the charnel ground meditation. So what happened in India back in the Buddha's time, and actually I think it might still happen in some places now, is that when you died, you could be cremated if you had means and family and such. But if you didn't, you were tossed out. There's a place way out of town where they just toss dead bodies, and that's called the charnel ground. And over time, the bodies decompose and turn to dust, and more bodies get piled on top. So it's just sort of like this heap of bodies. So there's this meditation that the Buddha taught, and actually is done in places where there's the opportunity to do this. And I will read it now to you. Again, monks, so bear in mind that this is the collected teachings of the Buddha. So this is, you know, quoting what the Buddha said, more or less. Again, monks, as though he were to see a corpse thrown aside in a charnel ground, 1, 2, or 3 days dead, bloated, livid, and oozing matter, being devoured by crows, hawks, vultures, dogs, jackals, or various kinds of worms, or a skeleton with flesh and blood held together with sinews, or a fleshless skeleton smeared with blood held together with sinews. So he's going through the progression of decay. A monk sees disconnected bones scattered in all directions, or bones bleached white, the color of shells, bones heaped up more than a year old, or bones rotten and crumbling to dust. He sees this and he compares this same body with it. This body too is of the same nature. It will be like that. It is not exempt from that fate. So the practice was to go out and to look at decaying bodies, or in my case, perhaps the ashes of Mr. Pfister, and contemplate that my body too will one day be like this. Now, sometimes this sort of contemplation will come up in various situations with the intention of sort of scaring you into action. It's like, one day you're going to die. You don't know when. It might be tomorrow, so you darn well better get up and do all the stuff that you're thinking of doing before it's too late. But I don't think that's what's going on here. The point of this is not to scare us into doing something. The point of all of these meditations is to free us from suffering, not to bring more upon ourselves by contemplating something that terrifies us. But that is often where our reaction will start. We're not very good at thinking about death, or we're maybe good at understanding it intellectually, but we don't want to be driven, we don't want our motivation to be driven by this fear, because that means really that your life, your whole life is going to have like this sort of Damocles hanging over your head. You know, in the back of your mind, you've got this fear that I've got to get this stuff done before I die. So what's actually the point of this meditation? Well, I think when we first start, often that will be what comes up. Personally, I'm not afraid of being dead. I'm not really afraid of dying. What my fear is knowing that I have a certain period of time to die. Like, you know, I'm given 6 months, and then that's what panics me. When I think about that, it's like, I mean, there's a whole, you don't need to know all the psychology going on, but that brings up this real crunch, and so I try not to think about it. And that, I think, is common for people, not necessarily that particular issue, but thinking about one's own death is uncomfortable. Can you identify with that?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it freaks me out.
Right. And it is something that'll freak you out. Because what does it mean to die? Mr. Pfister, in his ashes, was not conscious of the fact that he was floating in Apache Lake. And different religions have different ideas of what happens with traditional Buddhism. Your karmic stream will become reincarnated into another being until you finally reach enlightenment. The Christian tradition has a heaven to go to. Would you agree, I'll put it that way, would you agree that the fear is not so much the next life? The fear is the end of this one.
Yes, it's suffering.
Right. So,
there are people that don't even want to observe the end of their life. They want to die in their sleep or die quickly of a stroke.
Right.
So that they have no experience or awareness
right. At
all of it.
Like Woody Allen. He says, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. So the first thing that's going to happen when you start doing a meditation like this is that you're going to discover what fears are there or what response. It may not be fear. It may be, I don't know, maybe it's longing. Not for most people, but I went through a period of that. But some emotional thing is going to come up. And we're not doing this in order to scare ourselves. So the first thing we're going to do is notice the fear. We need to acknowledge the fear and welcome the fear, just like we would with any other emotion and any other fear. It doesn't necessarily make the fear go away to notice it and to welcome it, but to experience it and to not run away from it. It's not so much facing your fears to conquer it, but being willing to allow it to come up in order to progress in this practice. And let me say right now that it's not always appropriate to do this. So if this is freaking you out, the thought of contemplating death, then just hear this as an academic discussion, and we'll do something different during the meditation. Because it can be overwhelming depending on your situation. But say that you are able to allow the fear to come up and to let it be there in your body. Then looking at the bodies in decay, or imagining your own body being dead, can start to reveal something about the fear and about death itself. And what it starts to reveal is that, at least for me, I'm not afraid of being a bag of ashes. What most of us are actually afraid of is not the body disappearing, but the self disappearing. This thing that I am, that I have lived with all my life, that I have made myself into, that I identify as me, and everything that I've done is going to vanish with no trace. Well, memories and maybe some temporary legacy. But mostly what we tend to be afraid of is just the annihilation of the self. Not the death of the body, but the thought that I will just not exist anymore. That can be terrifying. But the thing is, with these practices, what we are also learning is that that self, doesn't really exist. It's just a concept that has been created, that we hang on to and identify with. But there is no thing in this body or in this mind. There's nothing I can pull out and say, this is me. All I am is the consequence of a lot of conditions. I am cause and effect. I am a body and a mind that responds to situations. And what I am is only now. It's only my experience now. What is past is gone, as much as if I were dead. What is future doesn't exist yet. The only thing that makes me up is right here and now. And the only thing that is here and now is me reacting to what's happening now. So this is probably a little conceptual. It's one of those things that you can understand mentally, but eventually you will experience in such a way that it actually makes sense. But what we're actually afraid of with death is we're attached to the self, and we're afraid of losing the self that doesn't exist already. So it's like I'm running around my house making sure that all the doors are closed so that my dog can't run away. And then you point out to me that I've never owned a dog. You know, I'm afraid of losing something that I don't have. We're all convinced we have a self, but we don't, actually. We are a verb. We're not a thing. So observing, contemplating death, and it doesn't have to be thinking about bloated bodies. It can just be contemplating, this body also is going to die. Can help us to understand that it's not actually something to be afraid of. It's not there's nothing to lose. And when you can start doing that, then you start becoming free. You're not afraid of death, so you're free of the fear of death. And in a weird way, okay, so if you're afraid of death, it might make you motivated to do what you want to do in life because you're afraid. It might make you grateful for your life in the sense that you're grateful that you're not dead yet. But if you're not afraid of death anymore, then every moment really becomes a source of deep gratitude that I have this. Not that something else hasn't happened yet, but each moment is precious, and we can use our time intentionally. Instead of being driven by the fear or paralyzed by the fear, which can also happen, we understand that it could happen. I could get hit by a drunk driver walking home tonight, walking out to the car. You know, you don't know when you're going to die, and you can think about that. But if you can, when you really understand that this is just a body that is reacting to the circumstances, and if the circumstances change, it's going to react in a different way, which is going to be not breathing. That gives us a real freedom to enjoy the life that we have. So I think that's more what this is about. There's also the side of impermanence, which of course is connected to what I've just been saying, that you don't know when you're going to die. Everything changes. Nothing can give you real satisfaction in life, especially not this body. You know, we get some satisfaction out of this body, but we get a lot of suffering out of this body too. And one day we won't have this body anymore. That's just how everything is. And that can sound really nihilistic, but in fact it's really freeing to get it, to get the impermanence. And that makes these moments so precious in a positive way, not in a fearful way. I think that might be all I have to say about that. I'm not going to suggest that we go out to the cemetery. There's actually this new technique I read about in China. Some woman has started this. There's been this real rise in China of divorce, which is, you know, not, it's a real social stigma in China, I guess, and there's been a lot of divorce. The rate is rising, and the women who are divorced end up feeling, very low self-esteem and feeling like they're a failure and this and that. And this woman actually takes groups of divorcees out to a graveyard, to a cemetery, where they have dug shallow graves, and the woman will lay in the graves and cross their arms and think about being dead. And then that gives them the ability to see how much there is to be alive for, which is really not what we're doing, but I thought was amusing. But yeah, the point of thinking about death, what I want to, you know, the bottom line here is that it will help us to see where our fears are and then to overcome those fears and then to be able to enjoy life because we're free of the fear of death, as opposed to desperately striving to enjoy life because we're afraid of death.